Tonight we continue the series on the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6, 10 through 12, we just quoted part of it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's a transition here in the model prayer. Up to this point, our focus has been heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It begins in worship that is focused on the name of Jesus. Our gaze moves from upward down to the earth where we now live. I want to say a word about worship and about why we begin with worship and we come later with the word. It's because God loves to be loved by his people. In Psalm 91, 14, because he set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. When we say hallowed be thy name in song and in worship and in prayer, something begins to move in that other realm. And now God wants what's going on over there to affect what's going on here. The shift from the sublime to the plane here on earth. Having looked into the realm where his will is always done, we come to the only realm in all the universe where his will is not always done. That's the planet Earth on which we live. As far as we know, the Earth is the only place of rebellion in all the universe, outside the realm of Satan. The ancient prophets longed for the kingdom of heaven to come to earth. Zechariah 14:9, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one and his name one. Here the coming kingdom is tied to his precious name. These verses release for us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Let me say something quickly about heaven. I'm going to use a big word, and you can look it up later, and I'll tell you what it means. But when we think about heaven and we think about prayer, our thoughts are more often than not anthropomorphic, which means we try to make heaven look like what's here on earth. And understand that God lives in another realm, in another dimension. Even science knows there are 11 dimensions. We live in three. We know the earth had a beginning, and we know it had an end. Even atheists believe that. It's called the Big Bang. And time is the product of creation. But where God lives is beyond the realms of time. There's a kingdom not of this world. And God left a pathway and keys and a way for us to move what's going on in heaven to earth. Because God's will on earth should be the same as it is in heaven. Now excuse me if this interferes with what's going on here on earth. And I'm not going to get into politics. I promised Ronnie I wouldn't say anything about any of that tonight. So I don't intend to, but I do have to make one remark on global warming. It's all right with everybody. If you're a moron and believe in that, you need help. Even though they played it down, the two volcanoes, there's really been a third one now erupt, have already thrown more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere than all the stacks since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. They're expecting now that global temperatures will drop by a degree to a degree and a half within the next 2 years. They've risen less than a half degree in the last 100 years. So all this scam that's picked your pocket is stupid. Now, you can't tell a liberal something, so I'm not going to talk anymore about that. But how many of you know there's no energy shortage in heaven? There doesn't have to be one on earth either, if folks know how to pray. How many sick folk in heaven? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how do we use those keys? Three or four points. One, our prayer hastens the coming of the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people, especially Baptists, one day the kingdom's going to come. It is coming. But Jesus said the kingdom of God is here. Well, which is it, Brother Ron? It's both. His kingdom is both present and his kingdom is coming. What is the kingdom? The kingdom isn't the golden streets and the gates of pearl, my friend. That's heaven. The kingdom is wherever Jesus Christ has dominion. King's dominion. That's where kingdom comes from. Wherever he reigns, if in your life, in your home, in your church, wherever he has dominion, in your business, wherever he has that, then the kingdom can be transferred out of that other dimension, that other realm, right into your life. Now, I want you to understand something to me. The church is serious business to me. I mean it. I mean, coming to church is serious. Praying is serious. And if Jesus said to pray this way in the Sermon on the Mount, then how many of you know what to pray this way? It's serious business. Now, in Acts 2:42, right after Pentecost, it said they continued. Which, how many of you know if they were continuing something, it was already going on? Now, Dr. Ronnie Jr. mentioned this briefly, but I'm going to spend a little more time here. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and in the breaking of bread and prayer. But the Greek is tais prosukas. They continued in the prayer. Which means when they were in the upper room, I don't care who you look at in the early church or in early church scholars, in the early church fathers, the prayer was our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's what they were praying in the upper room. Now we kind of make fun of it and say, well, you know, that's just a ritual. No, no, that's what they were continuing to pray. And by the way, it's better than most of the prayers I hear, because it begins in heaven and moves heaven to earth. So quit making fun of our brothers who may quote this. Because this is the prayer, I hate to tell you, that opened heaven on the day of Pentecost. Well, why were they praying that prayer? Because he told them, when you pray, pray like this. That's good enough for Ron. And so he moves from our worship in this prayer, that we ought to adore God, to say, now, how do we move the will of the Father into our lives, into the earth? Now we need to know that if we're going to be witnesses and missionaries, that's what we're doing. We're moving his will, his word, his witness to the earth. It's serious business. God's will on earth for our daily necessities, our bread, for our worries, for our living with and forgiving others. God's will on earth to keep people out of hell and get them to heaven. The business we're engaged in, the king's business and kingdom business, is the most important thing on the face of the earth. And so they continued steadfastly. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, St. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus, here's that name again, that you all speak the same thing. I know how to get agreement. Let's all stand and say the Lord's Prayer together. Not now. We'll do that in a minute. Y'all all say the same thing at the same time. He said, I'm talking to you when you get together. When do we say the same thing? When we sing songs. This isn't rocket science. God didn't make this complicated. We have. Somebody said to me the other day, well, I don't know how Benny Hinn, you know, because he gets up and for 30 minutes they sing hallelujah. And then everybody gets in agreement. And when everybody gets in agreement and together, God begins to move in the miraculous. That's what this word in this prayer is about. And that's why it's called the prayer. And here prayer, I believe, rises to its highest pursuit. We are praying to hasten the coming of the kingdom. You see, the kingdom has come and yet it is coming. The kingdom extends wherever Jesus is recognized as Lord. We're not residents of this earth. We are a colony of heaven. Our world is somewhere else. We are ancient aliens on this earth. We have come to take back what the devil stole in the Garden of Eden. And we are preparing for our King to come. Now, when we pray this prayer, we nullify any effort at setting dates on the second coming of Christ. When somebody sets a date, immediately right by that, idiot. Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour. Is the reason for that because it's on a calendar? Say no. It's not on a calendar. How many of you know God doesn't have a calendar? We have calendars. He doesn't have one. He lives beyond time. Time's a product of creation. I've said that twice. He's beyond that. God's going to come when certain things come together. And the greatest hindrance to the coming of Jesus is the church on the earth right now. He could have already been back. Don't shout me down. I said he could have already been back. I know you've read all these books and you're absorbed. But he doesn't live in this realm. He lives in the heavenlies, a timeless realm. You say, well, I don't believe that about the church, Brother Ron. Well, let me read Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Here it is. He said, if we get right, if we have a time of if revival begins to flow, he'll send Jesus. Now look at verse 21. Whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which has been spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. When we get restored to one another, to the tabernacle of David, to the global witness and mission, when we quit trying to get along with the society and learn that we are salt and light in a dark and dying world that's decaying, when we begin to understand that the Sermon on the Mount is not a call to identify with our culture, it's a call to be a counterculture. It's a call that tells us to love our enemies. It's a different world. It's a call that tells us to stay with our wives. Read the Sermon on the Mount. It is the exact opposite of what's going on the earth. Doesn't mean you can't be forgiven. But it is the Magna Carta of heaven. It's the constitution of God's universe. It's this great Sermon on the Mount. It's possible too. And Jesus is not coming back until everything God prophesied is done and restored in the life of the church. I hope it's the church in America, but I'm not so sure. It could be in Korea. Think about this. The largest churches in the world are in South Korea. The last trump is meeting on the 12th with King John, what's his last name? Is this Un-il or what? I don't know. I get them mixed up. King Kim Jong-un. And it's the weirdest thing. What's that weird basketball player's name going over there now? Yeah, he's got so much wire on him, he can't get through the metal detector. He's got to go in his own plane. I mean, he's wired up. He's going. What if the door, they claim the doors may be opening. I'm not sure. What if all of a sudden, what Paul Youngie Cho had prayed for on Prayer Mountain all those years ago, what if that explodes out? Do you know that YWAM and others already have people ready to go into North Korea and be martyrs to get the gospel there? Oh, by the way, they're 15 to 19 years old. It makes what we're doing here look insipid and tepid. I'm telling you, folks, the church is serious business. It's not about how you feel or how I feel. It's about what God says. And I count every day I live to be alive, to be an instrument of God's glory, to be an instrument to bring kingdom things to this earth. You think about it. When you go to work, the kingdom's going to work. When you go to the grocery store, the kingdom's walked in the grocery store. When you go to a ball game, the kingdom's walked into the ball game. You know, when you go to school, the kingdom's gone into the school. Whatever you're doing, you are an outbreak of the kingdom of God on earth. thy will be done. If I go on a second point is, our prayers reveal the will of God. They do. This prayer shakes heaven and earth. There were two gardens, and there was an Adam and a second Adam. In the first garden, Adam said, my will be done. In the second garden, the second Adam, Jesus said, thy will be done. If it be possible, let it pass, but whatever the less, not my will, but thine be done. And the gates of hell shook. When Jesus prayed it, the gates of hell shook. And the universe resounded to glory. Because at that moment, everything taken from us was being bought back by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, how is the will of God done in heaven? Constantly, universally, obediently, and joyfully. That's what it ought to be in church. How do we recognize the kingdom? Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. The Baptists didn't learn that for a long time, but anyway. But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want a kingdom church. Find righteousness, the character of Jesus in us. Find peace, the calm of Jesus around us. And the Holy Ghost, the celebration of Jesus through us. Joy in the Holy Ghost. The first crusade held in this building, I promised Rodney Howard Brown he could do it, and he paid to come here. And the first crusade held in this building was Rodney Howard Brown. But my mind goes way back to when the time he came here uninvited. Do you remember it? He came with R.T. Kendall. And the reason he came is that Mrs. Kendall had been healed under his ministry in London. She was bedridden. And here she was, whole and lovely, sitting on the front row. And so Kendall said, well, Rodney will read the scripture. I'm sitting on the front row. Paulette's by me. Jack Taylor's here. Others are here. He gets up with John. I am the vine, you're all the branches. Every branch in me bringeth forth fruit. I turned to Paulette and I said, he's not funny. When my head got back around the front, out of my belly an uncontrollable laugh exploded and I slid in the floor. We never got to Brother Kendall that night. People were either coming forward or fleeing in terror, but it was a totally unusual service. But the Spirit of God said to me, and by the way, God's given me a humor anointing in these last days. And I got an angel that tickles me while I preach. So it's really a lot of fun going, especially with the angel. He goes with me. And I'm just, he's punching me in the ribs and things, and I'm having a good time. And I watch that joy angel begin to move among those people, and the Holy Ghost comes. Because the one thing you got to have, listen, if they have no joy in the church, this ain't kingdom. See, and people get upset when other people get happy. Maybe it's not their problem. Maybe you're the problem. Because I want you to know, if you ever understand for me to live is Christ and die is gain, you're in a good shape. When you begin to believe the devil can't do anything to you, no weapon formed against you can prosper, and whatever anybody says doesn't really matter, what he says it matters. Just give God a laugh in the Holy Ghost if you got any in you right now. Just give him a good laugh. That's pitiful. Do you think it's not prophetic that the biggest crowds we've ever had in this church have not been for Benny Hinn or Perry Stone or Rod Parsley or Ron Phillips or Perry, anybody else? It's been for two comedians. I mean, what's that woman's name? It was here. She mocked me the whole service. I was 3 weeks out of knee surgery. Seems like here a charismatic Baptist could at least stand up. Yeah, y'all all laughed that we're here. It wasn't funny to me. And what's that other guy's name?
Tim Hawkins.
Is God trying to tell us something? That maybe if there was a little more joy. You say, well, look at all the problems in Washington. Have you noticed, Ronnie, I've kind of shut down the last 3 or 4 days. I'm through. At least till I get upset again, I'm through. But you know what the God told me? God said, hey, quiet down. I said, why? And he said, read me the Bible. And it says, he that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. He's talking about it, the nations. You know, here they're all popping off up in Congress and on news media. They think they're big shots. And here we are on one little planet in one solar system at the bottom of one galaxy. And the universe is huge. And these guys are thinking they're doing something. And they're not. And God's going, stupid. Look at that. That's what it says. I don't feel good. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If you're going to transfer what's up there to here, there's got to be some laughter and joy. Not fake humor, but real joy flowing from your belly and from your heart. Hallelujah. I get excited about my grandchildren. Y'all got an hour? Mine are smart. Let me tell you something. My grandchildren come to see me. They got cars, those that do, and they drive to see me. Always they want Paulette to cook, but they're really coming to see me. Ronnie's boy, Trey, Ronnie the Third, president was being inaugurated. I said, boy, that Melania Trump's good looking. Trey looked over at me, he said, not as good looking as Grammy. You wonder why he's bringing some boys from Macaulay over tomorrow that having to live there on campus to eat with us. Because he wants them to meet Grammy. And me. And all of my grandsons, all my boys, Ethan, Owen, Colin, Max, Trey, and my little Ricey ball player. That's why Ronnie isn't here tonight. I did excuse him. No, he's the boss. He said, you're preaching tonight. I got to go get my boy. I said, all right. I got something to be happy about. How about you? It may be something else in your life. Now, I got a lot of bad things I could tell you about, but I've already told those to some of the staff in the back, so I'm not going to mention them again tonight. Y'all really want me to tell, but I'm not. Paulette said, please don't. You need to discover the will of God in heaven and move that will to earth. Can I explain to you that prayer is not wishful thinking? It's getting a word from God of what His will is in heaven for the earth. And it's agreeing with that and adjusting your life to what He's doing, not getting Him to move to what you're doing. Too many times I've made a mess and then said, God bless this mess. But prayer, listen to this promise. It's very similar. In Matthew 16, He promised the church, He said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, it's rightly translated by the New American Standard because it really says, whatever you bind on earth shall have already been declared bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have already been declared loosed on the earth, on heaven. God's ahead of you. See, what you really believe God wants to happen, He's already declared it. And when your prayer gets in agreement with what He has declared, it shifts from that realm to this realm. I want to remind you, that's why there has to be interdimensional understanding in worship because every demon in hell will try to stop God's assignment in your life. But when you are in touch with the kingdom, the innumerable company of angels that we read in Hebrews 12 that accompanies the church will come around you and they'll slay the forces of darkness, move them out of your way, and what you didn't think could happen will happen. You be prepared for some surprises this year. By the way, these disasters going on all go back to the blood moons. If you get my message from Fresh Oil, I mentioned 17 things. We've now got about 40 that have happened. God is shaking the earth. It's terrible for those that are suffering through it, but I'm telling you folks, there's things going on right now. There's mighty movements, and God is about to show arrogant, prideful people on this earth that think they're running something or doing. He's about to expose darkness, and he's about to come to light. Hallelujah. A fellow told me the other day, well, I don't know how I could use somebody like Trump. I said, well, I use the jawbone of a donkey. But I use the other word. I use the King James word. He uses you and me. And he'll use who he pleases. I think God thinks it's funny what's happening on the earth. See, what you may not know is that, and what a lot of people don't know, and I mentioned this way back years ago, when Putin's mother died, she put his cross around his neck and he left the New World Order. And that's why he's so hated and why all this Russian stuff's going on. And I know he's not a good guy, but who is that ain't Jesus? Come on. She asked him to protect the Russian Orthodox Church. Guess who runs the Syrian Orthodox Church? Where he's over there. The Russian Orthodox Church. There's something going on in Russia. There's something going on in China. And the underground church in China is by 10 times larger than the church in America. He's doing something in India. I promise you, folks, there are already cells in North Korea that are going to explode. You wait. This thing's not over. This gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached to the whole earth. Then the end will come. Folks, we're not out of business. Well, I'm looking for the rapture. I preached on it. I believe in it. But put your hand down. We're not going now. There's some things going to be restored. We're not leaving here with this world looking like it is. When we get out of here, they're going to miss us. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. How can I know the will of God? Very simple. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorphosed, by the renewing of your mind. Now watch this, renewing of your mind, your thinking. What's wrong with the world right now is their thinking's wrong. And the Lord just revealed to me this week, and I'm working on a message on the spirit of Antichrist. The Lord's revealed to me this week, afresh, that a lot of these people I've been jumping on that are liberals are just deceived. They really believe this stuff. They're as convinced of the lie as you are of the truth. And that's why there has to be a renewing of the mind. Now why? That you may prove, everybody say prove, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I sure wish I knew the will of God. Give him your body and your soul and your mind right now. Just give him your life. If you're already saved, just every day give him your life. And 10 years from now, you'll be exactly where you're supposed to be. The will of God is not some crossword puzzle you're trying to work out. It's not something spooky. It is discovering what God's doing, surrendering everything you are physically, spiritually to him every day, and he moves you to where he wants you to be. Paulette and I don't have time to tell you, even in the last 6 months, the people we've run into in the divine appointments. I've even had a few job offers. But my boss here tells me I can't leave. So one of them was in Florida, so I'm having a hard time. But my grandkids are here. I love you, but my grandkids are here. What's old Brother Ron going to do? He got plenty to do. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with your 37-year-old pastor that believes this building can be filled up with rich people and poor people and homeless people, and black people and white people, and Hispanic and Latino people, that was born here, that has a DNA of Tennessee in his blood? What are you going to do? Sit around and wish for the good old days? Are you going to believe with him that you can move the kingdom of heaven to earth? And some of us are older. We need to get off our money. I know you think you're going to take it with you, but it's not going. We need to be generous. We need to help raise up these young couples until they're able to give and to move. Many of them are struggling with debt and things that they didn't mean to get into, but some bad choices. We need to help them get to where they need to be. We got stuff to do. And I want to tell you, if we begin to do it together, it'll work. Let me hurry. Finally, our prayers release the resources of heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Matthew Henry, the old commentator, he said, we ask for bread, not cake. We ask for bread for others. That way our honesty seen. We ask for daily bread. That teaches us to trust the Lord. We ask God to give it, not sell it to us. Even the wealthy are subject to God for his bread. We pray for God to give us. When I ask for bread, it's for the whole family of God. We pray daily. So we are praying every day. Better to go without bread than without prayer. That's what Matthew Henry said. But our prayer finally recognizes the pardon of heaven. As he talks about the will of God, he brings up the need for resources. Because how many of you know it's the economy that people focus on? That's what Jesus said first thing in the prayer. It's about our resources. The second thing is, Lord, will you forgive us as we forgive those who trespassed against us? This declares we need forgiveness. There's not a one of us watching online or here that doesn't need to be forgiven. All have sinned, Romans 3:23, and fall short of the glory of God. Christ died to forgive us, and it's God's will to forgive us. The greatest thing about Christianity is God doesn't hold you accountable. Jesus was held accountable for your sin. And so when we pray for forgiveness, we're invoking the blood of Jesus. We need forgiveness. We need forgiveness often. Don't you? I do. 1 John 1, if we confess our sin, I want to tell you how the Greek says it. If we go on confessing our sins, he is faithful and just to go on forgiving us our sins and to go on cleansing us from all unrighteousness. See, what's future to you is already past to him. I'm not going into quantum physics, but I got to tell you, he already knows the worst about you and decided to save you anyway. Your sins are forgiven you. Woo! Go ahead and shout about it. You're not going to hell. He can't remember them. Besides the blood of Jesus, I've only found one other condition for forgiveness. We must forgive others. We must forgive others. Matthew 18, Jesus said, my Heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his own heart does not forgive his brethren his trespasses. Now I want to tell you, folks, I've looked at this verse every way I can look at it. And you know, I believe in the perseverance of the saints. I believe in eternal security. But I want to tell you, my friend, if you can't forgive and you're holding grudges year after year, we all do, you know, it depends on our temperament, so you know how long it takes us. If you can't forgive, you're not saved. I'm sorry, I'm not your judge. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. If you can't forgive, you've never been forgiven. Because I want you to know, once you know that God knows everything about you and he's let his blood wash you away from your sin, and you can't forgive someone else, then you don't understand what he's done for you. You don't understand salvation. You don't understand grace. But here's the problem. I'm going to give you the two biggest problems. One, we'll forgive everybody we don't know, and those are closest to us, we'll hold a grudge forever. Amen. This past week, a prominent religious leader in a denomination lost a job he'd had for years. When I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he did everything he could to destroy me, even though we'd been friends. So immediately, people call me with glee. And my response was, he was terminated wrongfully. My response was, I'm not worthy to carry his briefcase. Because if it wasn't for that man, the Southern Baptist Convention would have been taken over by liberals. What happened? When he was coming to New Orleans to get his doctorate, and I was just starting my doctoral work, I picked him up at the airport and brought him to the New Orleans Seminary for his orals. He was pastoring in another state. His wife, I had the privilege, she's a genius, by the way. I had the privilege of taking care of her for half a day in the library while he was taking orals. By the way, my wife's been through orals with me, so it's a very trying experience. So she looked at me and she said, Mr. Phillips, that's what she called me. She said, she's a very formal person. She said, what are you doing at your doctoral work? And I said, biblical preaching to family needs. It's a demand program. She said, okay. She said, well, let me help you with that. And she took out a pad and outlined an entire doctoral project on the family. Now listen to me. She started giving me Bible commentaries that were the best on the family scriptures. Even the pulpit commentary, which has like 12 or 15 different commentators, she'd say, now, it's the fourth one in there. And I'm writing all this down. And when she was done, I went home and told Paulette, I said, I just had a year's worth of work handed to me in 4 hours. Because she knew all the resources on the family. She'd done her work in that area. At the end of all this, way back, I got a letter of apology from that man years ago, and I accepted it. I was almost left here and became the pastor of his wife's parents. Take no glee in somebody else's downfall. Today on television, they tried to get Newt Gingrich to attack Bill Clinton. He refused. He said, I really feel sorry for him. We did some great things together for America. He refused. I want to get there. Don't you? We're not there, but I want to get there. I want to get there where we're not hating people. Doesn't mean we don't have to agree with them. Now listen to me. Forgiveness doesn't mean you got to be best friends. If you've been abused, it doesn't mean you have to go back under the abuser. But it does disconnect you from that hurt in your past. The greatest problem is people will not face the ones they won't forgive. And I'm going to tell you, because we can't forgive, the fullness of the kingdom can't flow. And how many have been worked over by God? I get worked over every day. I wish I've been born sweeter. Now, most of the time, Ronnie's got a little edge, but most of the time, he's pretty sweet. But I've never been very sweet. I have this prophetic edge that wants to correct everybody around me. I'm the one, if you spill your tray, I say, well, you clumsy nut. Somebody with the gift of mercy will, be sorry for you, and somebody with the gift of giving will buy you another tray, and a teaching gift will teach you how to carry a tray. And there's some of you like that. My sister and daughter in the faith, Robin Smith, and I, we have a similar anointing, but she's sweeter than I am. She corrects evil better than me. So I'm just going to repost her post. But with all this communication now, we got to quit calling each other names. Yes, sir. Just got to quit. You know. Somehow we've got to rediscover that all these people out here that the devil's dividing us against are people we're supposed to get saved. Supposed to get saved. How do you do this? Settle all your accounts biblically with people. If they don't receive it, it's their problem. Settle them so that God's kingdom can come on the earth. It's not worth carrying grudges to hinder the flow of God. Settle them for peace of mind. One of the saddest things in that parable, in Matthew 18, Jesus, that's where he talks about agreement and all that. And I'm going to close with this. But that's the parable where this very wealthy guy, has one of his servants who's in debt to him. And he forgives it. But this same man had a friend that owed him just a little. And he wouldn't forgive him. And so the wealthy guy heard about the guy he'd forgiven not forgiving the guy that owed him very little. And he called him in and said, take everything he's got away from him. And this is the interesting thing, turn him over to the tormentors. I don't believe that's talking about hell. The tormentors are demonic spirits that have permission to operate in our life when we don't forgive. Fear hath torments. Now what it says? God hath not given us the spirit of fear hath perfect love. Cast out fear. I'm going to preach this summer in our Together series on perfected love. I've never had a message slam me to the floor like that has. You don't know what perfected love is, but I'm going to show you. See, we don't love people long enough. We give up too quick. But God doesn't. Now, don't people say God doesn't struggle, but you hadn't read the book of Hosea. Ephraim is a name for, the descendants of Joseph and children of Israel. And in the book of Hosea, God says of his own people, Ephraim has joined idols. Let her alone. As if he's going to turn his back. And then you go through that whole story of Hosea reclaiming his wayward wife. And the same God, before you get to the end of the book, Hosea says to Ephraim, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? God looked at Jeremiah and said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. The only condition is I've got to extend it to you too. If I can't do that, I don't have it.
I wish the kingdom would come on earth. Well, God's already declared a perfect will for your life. But you got to present that unforgiveness, that shortage of resources and bread or whatever it may be in your life. You got to present all that to God. You present it, just say, Lord, I know you're not going to kill me, but I'm going to die with Christ. I'm going to put all this stuff on the altar, and I want your will to be done. And God will begin to reveal to you his perfect will for your life. You'll be able to prove it in your life. And the peace of mind will come. And the joy of the kingdom be released in your life. Now let's put up the prayer on the, if we can. Can we get the prayer up? There it is. Everybody stand up. Stand up on your feet. Look at that. Now we're going to start in a minute. But first I want you to say, Dear Lord, forgive me for saying this prayer and not thinking about what I'm saying. Forgive me, Lord, for judging those who pray this every day and every week. Forgive me, Lord, for thinking any prayer I pray could be superior to the one you left us. So we ought to pray all kinds of prayer. But this is the one he said. Now, you don't have to pray it these exact words, but I think it's wonderful occasionally when the church. That's why I used to do the creed together. I believe if we stand in agreement on what we believe and stand in agreement on the kingdom coming, if we don't agree on anything else, I believe it can be a breakthrough. So I want you to think about the upper room. And they continued in the prayer. They were in that upper room. They didn't know what to pray. They'd been waiting. They'd been tarrying. And every now and then they'd break out and pray the prayer. Then, you know, they might, after they prayed the prayer, they might then go into the names of God and just start worshiping Jehovah and Yahweh and Shaddai and all that. They might take a part. They might begin to have confession of their sins one to another. But this was the springboard. And this is what our pastor's been trying to teach us for these weeks. It's that this prayer can serve as a model. By the way, you can take this prayer and go through it, take each part of it, and get down on your knees and begin to confess sin, go through this thing, and I promise you, you can stay on your knees an hour just praying around this prayer. Are you ready? Say, Lord, we're in agreement. So let's go. Are you ready? Let's say it together. Ready? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Give the Lord a shout. If I had another hour, I'd preach a sermon to you that God's given me called How a Saint Rises from His Knees. Thine is the kingdom. Preach on that a while. Thine is the kingdom. Get up saying, oh, it's your kingdom, Lord. It's your power, and it's for your glory. Amen and amen. Next time you're here to somebody sing that at a public event or at a wedding, just enter into worship and identify with what the Lord's trying to say. Now I want our pastors to come here if they would. And our worship team's going to come back. Okay, why don't we have Ken just sing this prayer for us? And hey, if you feel led to respond, if there's a need in your life and you're willing to come in alignment and God's given you a word, I want you to feel free while we're doing anything up here to come and have someone pray for you right now. Go ahead, brother.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Some praise. The altars are open.